But joining us now on the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline is the great Grant Wall. Hi, Grant.
Hey, how are you?
Are you always introduced with Pink Floyd's The Wall as your background music?
You know, sometimes I used to be introduced with an Eddie Grant song, Electric Avenue, by a place that had me on somewhat frequently. But okay. I like this.
But that's not a play on your last name, as clearly...
But Grant is.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good point. I'm sorry. I already messed up the entire interview. Grant, it's great to have you on, man. I'm a huge fan, and I enjoy GrantWall.com, and I would recommend it to any soccer enthusiast. And that's kind of where I wanted to start, because just today, $250 million from CBS per year to carry the Champions League, and that will be on their Paramount Plus, but it will also be on CBS, as people looking for soap operas will once again be confused. I mean, what a time! Well, you know, I think your newsletter today talked about, like, is it $1.5 billion? Every year is being paid by U.S. networks for soccer. I mean, who could have? Could we have seen this 25 years ago? That's insane.
It's crazy, right? I mean, it's literally gone from the U.S. being one of the worst countries in the world in which to watch soccer in as recently as the late 90s, early 2000s, to being one of the best now. And you can see just about everything from around the world soccer-wise on your television if you want to pay for it, you know. And I know fans are annoyed by how many subscription fees they have to pay these days, and I get it. But it's available, and it always strikes me, even when I go to a place like England, and I'm there, and it's this great soccer culture, but like very few Premier League games are on television, and you have to pay a lot for them, the ones that you do try to see.
Yeah, and they're amazed that you guys get to watch the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. They're quite jealous of the good folks of like South Dakota that get every single match in the Premier League. So one of the main reasons I really enjoy your work is you're obsessed with the U.S. men's national team, and you're obsessed with a lot of things, but in particular as the World Cup comes along. I've really enjoyed our national team through the years and their growth, and that's why the current situation with Christian Pulisic is somewhat bothersome as we head into a World Cup year. Do you think his current position is going to change in the next couple days? And also, do you think his current spot, where he's not playing enough for Chelsea, probably do you think that's a big issue for the United States?
I think it's a major issue. You've got the guy who is sort of the marquee player of his generation from the United States, was sold for $72 million three seasons ago to Chelsea. He wears the number 10, which is the marquee number for any top player on the team typically. And he's not a starter most of the time, including right now. First two Premier League games, Christian Pulisic came on as a sub very late in the game, didn't make much of an impact. And if you're the best player on the U.S. men's national team 3 months out from a World Cup, you need to be playing a lot at your club. And so that's a real concern for Pulisic. At least he's not injured, which is what he's been a lot over the last couple of years, but he's also not playing that much. And so the question becomes, is Pulisic going to make a move, whether it's a loan move to a different Premier League team or another team in Europe, or even be sold potentially during this transfer window, which ends fairly soon, so that he can get more playing time. Reports this week were that Manchester United was interested in a loan, and Pulisic was interested in that. Reports that Greg Berhalter, the U.S. men's coach, has told Pulisic that he needs to get more playing time at club level to help the World Cup campaign. And so we'll see how it shakes out here. I think a loan is more likely than a sale at this point, but I could see Pulisic moving in the coming days.
With the dumpster fire that Man United is right now, would that be helpful for him? Would he be able to help turn that around, or would that just be a disaster and worse than sitting on the bench at Chelsea?
Well, clearly Man United's a mess. Last place in the Premier League after two match days. New coach, turmoil, got beat 4-0 by Brentford, of all teams, last weekend. It was 4-0 after 35 minutes. Cristiano Ronaldo is sulking and wants to leave the team. They're not playing in the Champions League. There's a lot that's going wrong at Man United. I don't think Man United is as bad as they've been over the last 2 weeks. So I don't want to write off United completely as a destination for Pulisic. And it sounds like, from the reports we've seen, Pulisic doesn't want to write off Man United. He's open to the idea of making the move. It sounds like right now it's Chelsea that actually does not want to loan Christian Pulisic to a potential rival inside their own league. So that's going to be an interesting one. You got to realize, too, you know, Christian is an American on a very prominent team, just won Champions League 2 seasons ago with Chelsea. Chelsea has a new American owner, Todd Boehly, who's an owner of the LA Dodgers as well. And so I don't know what Todd Boehly thinks about all this. You know, that you're this American owner, you've got the top American player. Do you really want to move him?
Yeah, I was going to say, does Chelsea, beyond the ownership, do they care about, I mean, does this, like, okay, well, he needs time wherever just so he can tune up for the World Cup. Do they give a rip about that from their perspective, or is that more of a gentlemanly, okay, we'll cave to you and let you go play somewhere else for a couple of months?
I don't think Chelsea cares much about the United States World Cup team, to be honest.
Right.
And maybe they shouldn't. That said, one thing we are seeing is Chelsea showing interest in other players, purchasing other players in Pulisic's position during this transfer window. And if they do that, then I think they kind of owe it to Pulisic to try and move him and do right by him. And that should be in Chelsea's interest, too, to get some money for him. I guess what I don't totally understand is why Chelsea doesn't value Pulisic a bit more than they appear to. And I think this comes down to their coach, Thomas Tuchel, who interestingly was Pulisic's first coach at Borussia Dortmund when he was playing in Germany. And you do get the sense that Tuchel views Pulisic, might view him as a teenager still breaking through, and he's not that anymore. You know, he's 5 years older than that now. And I think that happens sometimes in every walk of life, right? Where a boss views you as something that you used to be, yeah, as opposed to what you are now and want to be.
Yeah, it's so interesting. This is Grant Wall with us. I can't help but look at Pulisic somewhat through the lens of Landon Donovan back in the day, where we all thought, man, it would be great for you to better yourself overseas, and I know Landon had his own reasons for often wanting to stay at Major League Soccer. Now we're seeing a guy maybe go to a club where he doesn't play enough, and maybe mid-table he'd play every week. There's so many ways to do this, but I guess at the end of it, Grant, we're all pretty obsessed with what the American stars do in their own personal paths and how that affects the national team. I guess that's my takeaway.
Yeah, you know, and we as Americans might be annoying to fans in other countries because we're pretty fixated on what Americans individually are doing as opposed to what their teams are doing. But I don't think it's unnatural or wrong for Americans to want to follow the individual Americans abroad. And it's pretty cool that we have several young American men now playing at truly elite clubs in Europe. That wasn't the case 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so I think it's natural. I just hope for a player like Pulisic that he gets the opportunity to maximize his very considerable talents. And I know he's a fighter in many ways, but at a certain point, if it's not going to happen at Chelsea, maybe it could happen somewhere else.
This is Grant Wall with us. So that leads us to the other reason I wanted to visit with you, which was your great piece about Leeds United, and Leeds United is probably the answer to, and I hear this all the time, people getting into European soccer or just soccer in general and saying, hey, who's a fun club to follow? And that changes as Americans come and go, but right now Leeds is managed by an American and has two fine American national team players on their side. And you wrote a massive magazine style piece about Leeds United recently and took a trip over there. Will you sell the good people on Leeds here for a brief moment?
I mean, I don't think it's that hard to sell. Leeds United is America's team in the Premier League now. And that's a recent development because they hired an American coach, Jesse Marsh, just a few months ago, who kept them from being relegated, kept them up in the Premier League. Very nervy end to the season last year, went to the final day. And then this summer, Leeds United signed two young U.S. men's national team stars, Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson, who are going to have a huge impact on how the U.S. does at the World Cup. And so Leeds ended up spending something like $54 million for these two Americans. And they started both their first two games. Leeds got off to a good start, had a win at home. Should have had a win last weekend at Southampton and frittered away a 2-0 lead in the second half, but they still got a point. And really, this season will be a success if they can be in the middle of the table and not be in a relegation battle like they were last season. And that's a huge challenge. So Jesse Marsh is a guy I happen to go to college with at Princeton and have been friends with since we were 19 years old. And I covered him for the school newspaper when Bob Bradley was the coach. And Jesse and I would never have realized in those days that we would both be involved in professional soccer, him coaching it, having played in it, and me covering it. But Jesse's a really cool story too. You know, very few American coaches have had success in Europe. And he was very successful in Austria, in Salzburg, got into the Champions League with them, and now he's coaching a Premier League team. He's only the second U.S.-born coach of a Premier League team ever.
Speaking of last year's relegation fight, I'm a Toffee. Is there any chance that Everton is going to get a striker before this transfer window closes?
You would think. I mean, for the amount of money that they sold Richarlison to Spurs for, that would be a huge priority. And from what I've seen of Everton so far this season, not great, you know?
They don't have anybody that can score.
And that's a real concern. And I'm not sold on Frank Lampard as a coach yet, to be honest. And so it's, I think Everton fans, and that's another sort of America's team over the years, right? Because Tim Howard played so many years at Everton. Landon Donovan was there on loan. And even, who else? Joe Max Moore over the years played there. And so, like my mom was a big Everton fan because of all that. And it's been disappointing the last couple of years. You feel like something like Carlo Ancelotti leaving Everton to go to Real Madrid ended up being very good for Carlo because he won the Spanish League and the Champions League last year. But I think it really hurt Everton fans, and they've sort of been struggling ever since, including on the field.
This is Grant Wall, grantwall.com. Very seldom will you run into a journalist that could probably speak very, very capably about everything going on in the World Cup, the English Premier League, FC Dallas, gosh, all the stuff over here in Major League Soccer. It's a pleasure to follow you. I'm a proud subscriber, and I recommend it to anyone. You're doing great work, and it's cool to see a guy make it on his own. And also, congratulations on the Where's Waldo soccer life you've lived, because that's pretty wild, too, going back to the student newspaper at Princeton. Did you know Jason Garrett at all?
You know, I didn't. It had been a few years, I think, since he was on campus or connected to it. But I actually remember writing a big series on best Princeton football players ever and wrote a long thing about him when I was on campus. So it's a small world.
Nice, nice. Well, listen.
I'd like to read that pamphlet.
Yeah, so would I. Grant, thank you very much, man. It's a pleasure visiting with you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
That's Grant Wall, grantwall.com, W-A-H-L. He's one of those Substack subscriptions that I have that may get out of hand, but I'm not giving up his.
Where did he leave? CBS?
Well,
he was SI, right?
Or SI for like 20 years. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He's a pleasure for the American football enthusiast. But there you go.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.